Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Oh, and the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Charles Robinson will be with us in just about an hour from NFL Blue Book. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him, so looking forward to that. Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up later this hour at 7:45, taking your thoughts in the meantime. Joe, a memo has been put out from the NFL to inform its clubs that any player that returns to college football this year is prohibited from signing with an NFL team this season. Also says that, hey, let's take a reminder here of the rules. If they're cut, they're a free agent. So that means there's no getting cut, going to college football, and then coming back in as like your draft pick that just automatically joins your roster at some point this year or next year, because I've heard some talk about that this week of what happens if, like, you know, your sixth-round pick just decides to go play college football. Well, if that happens, you're a free agent when you come back to the NFL. So that was made out there by the NFL yesterday in its memo to its teams, talking about, hey, you know, players who are cut, they can go sign with another NFL team, they can go CFL, they can go to college football. But NFL stepping in there and involving itself to some degree in this college football exodus discussion that we've talked about. So now, as this week has progressed, Joe, we've gone from, oh my goodness, players are leaving college football to go play for LSU and all these other teams out there, and this is going to be some big disaster. And now the Big Ten says, well, you're not coming here. The SEC says, well, hey, you're not coming here. And the NFL doing what they can do to say, hey, look, if these guys leave, they're not coming back as like your sixth-round draft pick. They're free agents at that point. What do you make of everything that's now progressed in this discussion from where the week started to where we are now?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see the NFL do this. You can't go back in the drafts next year, and then you can't come back this year. I mean, that's a deterrent, you know. I mean, I said when we had Charles on, I guess it was last week we were talking about this, or was it 2 weeks ago? The idea of, okay, well, make a rule. Can the NFL make a rule that if you go back, you could never come back to the NFL? That's pretty extreme. They didn't do that, but this is still a deterrent. And you know, you put this along with what the conferences are doing, and it's just, you know, to me, it's just good to see. Look, when you make a rule like the NCAA did, you draw a line somewhere. There's going to be people who are screwed over, and the reality is the NCAA has been sued into oblivion, and so lawyers are going to say, "Hey, man, like they're costing you money. Let's make this right." I don't begrudge any of these, I don't begrudge anyone for being like, okay, so I can make, you know, whatever, $150K over here. I can go make $1 million over there. I want to go back over there. I don't begrudge that, but it shouldn't be allowed, shouldn't happen. And, you know, we'll see. Like, we are now seeing, along with this, we're seeing the conferences make these rules, right? Where, like, if you do this, then you were massive penalties, massive fines, like half the season suspension for coaches, all these things. I mean, I think that's the right way to play it. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, Lane and Will Wade might be like, that's fine. We'll take the half season to get these players. That's fine. And, you know, we got endless money here, so just pay the bill, you know, pay the fine. But I think that's good for the conferences. And then now we're seeing some NCAA wins also on some of these appeals on the injunctions. So, you know, it's like all at this point, any school that is like, oh yeah, we got to go get this guy. And again, that does include Tennessee with Jalen Washington. Now it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't have messed with that. Like, maybe you should have just been happy with your roster, not screwed somebody over on your roster to go get this guy, because now you're sitting there in limbo and you have no idea. You know, Kentucky looked amazing the other day when they had Mark Mitchell. Well, now he's ineligible to play. Will that change? It could. But, you know, this is why the schools, the programs, the coaches who are like, you know what, I'm not even messing with this stuff. I give them a big tip of the cap.
Well, there was a, you know, You mentioned the new rules from the SEC. So there's a vote that LSU abstained from that basically has imposed some of these penalties to deter some of this. Here are some of them. The coach suspended for half of the year, a fine of 50% of that fiscal year's operating budget for the sport, which is just pretty significant.
Yeah.
The school's loss of voting privileges on conference business matters. Quote, and any additional penalties the commissioner and presidents deem appropriate. So take that for whatever you will. But those are pretty stiff penalties, Joe, that I think will serve as a nice deterrent for most people. We'll see if LSU follows suit.
Sankey's like, and you know what? How about Lane? You have to run the stadium stairs for the next 5 hours. How about that? We'll throw that in there too. Lane,
I love get your that ass last, up there. It's like, yeah. Here are these three big things that we're going to do. And by the way, if all those things don't deter you, we hold the reserve the right to basically do whatever we want after that.
Yes, Sankey can also act as a frat pledge master and you know make you like eat like old you know whatever like stuff out of the trash or whatever. I mean, yeah, like it's just let's get weird with it. No, it's great, and you know, of course, yeah, LSU, you know, because the other day it was reported that the initial vote on the SEC essentially not allowing pros back in was 16-0, and it was like, whoa, LSU was like, yes, we vote for this. Also, Lane, good luck, buddy. Go get some guys. But now they abstain because you know can't make Lane and Will mad. You know those guys are just out there just trying to you know cut every possible corner in sports. And Will Wade, by the way, RJ Lewis, who I mean, this is a dude who left 2 years ago for the NBA, right? Left St. John's. he is now ineligible again. We'll see where it ends up. But, you know, people are sitting there talking about a Final Four roster with him, which I didn't buy anyway. But now he's ineligible again. I mean, it just, you know, LSU, if you're an LSU fan listening, hey, man, I get it. You're going to support your coaches and like, hey, you know, you guys would do the same stuff. And I just want to, you know, everybody's just out here trying to win. But, my God, it's embarrassing. I mean, these two guys are just absolutely embarrassments.
Well, and like to say everybody else would do it, here's an example of other teams and coaches who are not doing it, right? I mean, it's just yeah. It's just not happening. So
exactly.
There is, I would, you know, I was worried to death at the beginning of this week. I was like, because I, you know, it wasn't just LSU. It was, you know, Ryan Day hopped in front of the microphone at Ohio State. I was like, well, I mean, if all these guys are coming back, we're going to have to do what's best for Ohio State. We're going to have to go get some of these guys. I was like, good Lord, this is going to turn into some ridiculous bidding war out there of guys getting cut from NFL rosters and like you know we're going to go from worrying about you know, what the 53 man of the NFL roster looks like on that cut down day to like all right how many of these guys are getting ready to go join some college team and play college football out there and it is good to see at least from my perspective Joe there actually does appear to be a line. I was not convinced ever that there was based on everything that's gone down in college sports of like somebody stepping in and doing what's right for the good of the game. And it's nice to see that has actually happened this week. I'm pleasantly surprised by it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, this is one of those where everybody can agree on it, you know. I mean, some people were mad about players getting money. I mean, I thought that was stupid. And those people, I think most of them are like, you know, I guess they've either walked away or they're like, oh, yeah, that was dumb. They should have gotten money all along. But you know, this is one of those things where I think we can all agree, yeah, this is ridiculous. Because, again, you're taking opportunities away from people who are actually in college on the team and you know, high schoolers trying to, you know, play college football. I mean, like, you're screwing over other people when these people can come back. Robert in Nashville says LSU's going to go Notre Dame and become independent. Now, that's pretty good. We declare we are now independent. We are not in the SEC any longer. that's beautiful. Craig says, what would stop a draft pick like Arch Manning or CJ Carr from getting drafted by a team they don't like in the first round then going back to college? Well, Craig, I mean, again, like what we're talking about here would stop it. I mean, and this is the beauty of this. It's really smart because a lot of the foundational issue here is antitrust law, right? Yep. So it's like if you are denying – the NCAA, college football at large, is denying someone their right to earn, then that's – I mean, you know, that's illegal, and that's why the NCAA has been getting crushed in courts. But when conferences make the rule, you can say, and again, we're going to see how this plays out. Like there are judge rulings to come, but the beauty is, it's like, well, you know, they can still go somewhere else and play. You know, like, it's just our conference rule. They can go somewhere else.
Play for Tulane.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, so are we going to see, I mean, basically are some of these guys, yeah, going to go like, you know, get some action in at a discounted rate? I know some people are like, how about the Big East? They're just going to take all these hoops dudes and just destroy everyone. Well, we're good. We'll take them. We're the Big East. We'll take them all. You know, but that's how you get around the antitrust thing is just conference rules that you're not denying them. They just have to go somewhere else. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out in court.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, Robbie, man? Joe, where did you go to school? Michigan State, is that right?
That is right.
You should be able to quit your job right now and go back and play fullback for Michigan State. Like, because it's basically professional football anyway. It's semi-pro football. I think, you know, as long as you take care of your feet, it's important. But get out there, dude. Like, you got the size for a fullback. As long as you can, you know, you're going to have to run. So you have to get used to don't die on TV. Like, that's important, too. But I think anybody should be able to go back to school at this point because it's not college anymore. The special part about college is over. So, yeah, go be a Spartan, dude. Like, live your dream. I think we should anybody should get to go play ball at any time now.
Thank you, Adam.
Well, I mean, that was always true, though, right? Like, I mean, if you have eligibility, you could always do it. Like, there are stories of, like, old dudes going back and playing college sports, right, because they'd never played before.
Haven't we just seen one? Isn't some 47-year-old guy join some team somewhere?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly where or what school, but.
You think Rex Rhodes has the size to play fullback?
Yeah, I think so. He's a little tall for a fullback, maybe.
Yeah, I'm a little, you know, I may be fat, but I'm also kind of lanky. I don't know that I'm really fullback. I'd be more of a
tight end.
Move tight end.
It could be a little the move tight end, the old H-back situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be a good, you know, like personal protector on the punt team and try not to hit anybody ever or get hit. Something like that. Never make a play. Never make a tackle. No, not really. But, you know, in seriousness, to Adam's point, you know, yes, this stuff is all ridiculous. You know, there actually are people who, like, play college football who, like, are going to college. I mean, that is a thing. Like, you know, nothing has, to me, has really changed that much in that way other than, you know, some of these schools, like, for example, Notre Dame. I mean, Marcus Freeman was asked, and he's like, yeah, we can't take any of these dudes. Like, you can't, like it's academically, we couldn't just get someone in, you know? So there are different degrees of seriousness of school. Apparently at LSU, it's like, oh, a basket weaving 101, come on in now, you know? But I just like to do that voice.
I like it when you do it, too. I was trying to figure out exactly what it is. It's like a...
I do declare.
Yeah. It's definitely Foghorn Leghorn is tied into it. There's no doubt.
Yes. Yeah, Brian Kelly, you know, somewhere in there.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More to get to on the college football front coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Come hang out with us tomorrow at T-Line in West Nashville as we celebrate 1025 The Game's 15th year of being on the air. Also, we have gifts that we'll be giving away every hour starting at 6 o'clock. Press tickets, Vandy tickets, concert tickets, and more. Stop by T-Line, get signed up for a chance to win Nashville Predator season tickets as well. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/birthday. Taking your thoughts, we'll have the Rex Rant later this hour. Charles Robinson coming up a little bit after 8 o'clock today here on the program. The college football discourse, interesting this week out there. By the way, people saying Joe sounding like Leonardo DiCaprio and Django Unchained, saying somebody said you're a combination of Foghorn Leghorn, Brian Kelly, and Ed Orgeron.
If they had a baby.
Accent. So, if they had a baby. So, differing interpretations of your voice.
I do declare, Lane, we must go get these players. You can have as much money as you like, Lane.
What is
remember?
What's Katie think when you go into your Cajun accent voice?
I don't think she listens a lot, so it's probably just for the best for all parties involved. I don't do it at home much. Maybe I should. Yeah, maybe I should trot that out.
I think
darling,
so.
Shall we go out now for some chicken fingers? What do you say, my darling?
I think she might legitimately punch you.
Yeah, the divorce. Yeah, that's just immediately follows.
Oh, man. I mean, like you said, it's an exciting week, Joe. College football actually gets rolling this weekend. So all this stuff going on this week. Meanwhile, we've got actual games coming up this weekend.
We do. And not, you know, like not, obviously the main event, I guess, would be the Belichick TCU game. You know, TCU, by the way, I mean, you know, Sonny Dykes is sort of embattled as well, so that's a really interesting game. But Virginia NC State, I mean, that's kind of fun. Get right into a conference game. I thought there was a game Friday, but maybe I'm wrong.
There are some games tonight, depending on how deep into college football you want to go. Like Maine and Towson play tonight, you know. I don't know if I'll be tuning into that one, but it's apparently out there.
Okay, so that's actually the official first real football game.
I mean, does Austin Peay play today? I think Austin Peay plays today.
Is that right? Okay, so we're talking
yeah, they play today against Gardner Webb.
Okay.
So we got all kinds of college football going on.
Austin Peay, I mean, like, again, I've said, you know, Brennan Rexrode has declared that they are going to beat Vanderbilt. So, and we've got an Austin Peay fan got on the text line yesterday saying the same thing. So,
you know, well, let me tell you this. If he's right and Austin Peay beats Vanderbilt and they didn't start Jarrett Curtis at quarterback, boy, is that going to be an unraveling of that fan base.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so the Austin Peay fan who was texting yesterday was like, I actually would have felt better about us winning if Curtis was a key. You're kind of hoping for like maybe like some crazy freshman mistakes or something like that. But, yeah, like Blaze starts, lose to Austin Peay, yeah, probably won't see him again.
I mean, all due respect.
Without knowing what happens, but, yeah.
All due respect to Austin Peay. But couldn't Vanderbilt turn around and hand the ball off to Cedric Alexander like 30 times in the game and probably beat Austin Peay?
Yeah, and another thing, I didn't say this about their scrimmage. You know, we talked obviously about the quarterbacks. They got a freshman running back who, first of all, they've already got, I mean, they've got, like you said, Cedric Alexander is really good. So they've got, you know, and they have, they've got good depth, but this freshman, and I'm going to find his name because it's worth talking about. So, you know, Macklin Young also is really good, by the way. But Evan Hampton, okay? Remember that name. Okay. Evan Hampton. He went for like a 75-yard TD in the scrimmage. 6 foot, 215 out of Owensboro, Kentucky. We're going to be talking about Evan Hampton. At some point. Now, how much run will he get this year? I don't know, because Alexander and Young are really good. So you may not see him a lot this year. Remember that name. Dude's going to be a stud.
All right, Evan Hampton. Maybe he'll get some carries against Austin Peay. We'll see what that looks like.
Fly is open. Let's go, Peay.
That's right. Good to know they get their season started tonight, though, you know?
Yeah, let's go, man.
Up until, like, earlier this week, I mean, you were looking for the start of – college football season, and you really had to do a deep dive if you wanted to find some of the games happening today. But I'm glad to see it's more accessible on ESPN's website now. Because it's basically like, oh, the season doesn't start until TCU and North Carolina get going on Saturday, which I know for most people that's when they'll first start to watch, but we'll see. I am interested in the conference game, like the week zero conference game happening in the ACC this weekend. Is that the first time that's ever happened? Like, has there ever been a week zero conference game before?
I don't remember one. There definitely been week one. Yeah, week one, that happens. But, yeah, I don't remember week zero. Now, Craig is saying, I think I remember hearing this, that it's actually a non-league game. So, apparently, they scheduled this, you know, to play each other, but this is not actually an ACC. It's not part of the ACC schedule, which is interesting. And it's interesting that they would be able to, you know, because usually, you know, like these non-league.
Wait, what?
I do remember hearing that. So that's, you know, in other words, they just decided to schedule each other, you know, to play this game. Kind of weird because usually, you know, those schedules are years out and the conference schedules. I mean, you do have some, you know, some notice on that, but that's – Apparently, yeah, that is true. Yeah, it's a home and home that they announced in 2024 that will not be conference games. So they found out that they weren't going to be on each other's conference schedule, and they scheduled a home and home. I'm here for it. Good for them.
I've never heard of this, ever.
Yeah. Let's get Tennessee
and Florida. Tennessee,
Florida
can schedule each other, and it just doesn't count?
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. You know, it's like the conference schedule is like, here's your whatever, your eight conference games or your nine conference games. That happens in hoops a fair amount. Sometimes I know in some years, now basketball is a year to year schedule, so it's different. But like what would used to happen, like in the Big Ten, is I think Michigan State did this. There were some years where they only had one play instead of two. They've kind of fixed that where they always play twice, but then they would play the other game, wouldn't count in the Big Ten standings, but they'd have the other, you know what I mean? They'd play it, so they would play twice. So, yeah.
Well, I've learned something new today on the program. That's one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, that's hardcore. That's, you know, it'd be one thing if they were in like different conferences and then they had the realignment.
Right. But, right. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, hey.
We're going to play a conference game, but it's not a conference game, so don't count it as a conference game.
Hey, it's better than them scheduling, you know, like Virginia, you know, or like Old Dominion. I don't want to take any shots at Old Dominion, but George Mason. I don't want to take any shots at
the injury report is out. Apparently, Virginia has a lot of players missing.
That's not good.
Not sure how much that affects, you know, week one, week zero, but they have a handful of players out. Pretty large number considering it's only the first game. But.
Gotta love those injury reports.
So what you're saying is take NC State.
I am not telling you that. I got no clue on these teams. I'm just going on the On3 injury report that has been put out, the ACC injury report.
I mean, I will watch a little bit of NC State for no other reason than they play Vanderbilt here in a few weeks. So get a first look at those guys.
Absolutely. Chad, Balls fan, says, if Austin Peay beats Vanderbilt, I personally promise to drive to the studio and laugh for 4 hours straight into a live mic. Well, okay, well, we don't promise to let you do that, Chad. But
we're only on for 3 hours, so you'd have to ask Jake Lyman about that extra.
You'd have to do an hour with Jake after us.
But, you know, shocker, I feel pretty good about Vanderbilt beating Austin Peay. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A wonderful development that has taken place in the world of sports that we can all celebrate together, and we'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45. Charles Robinson coming up just after 8 o'clock on the program today. Joe, there's been a wonderful development in the world of sports, but before we get to that, it is time to give away another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So we have another spot to give away.
Here we go.
Here's how we're going to do it today. We're going back to a trivia question via text line. Make sure you text this in. Do not call. So the first person to correctly guess this answer on the text line at 615-737-1025 will win. The Titans, and I emphasize the Titans, not the Oilers, not the Houston Oilers, not the Tennessee Oilers. The Tennessee Titans opened Adelphia Coliseum on September the 12th, 1999. They hosted the Cincinnati Bengals in week one of that year. It was a thrilling 36-35 win for the Titans in a year where they would go on to go undefeated at home and not lose any games at Adelphia that year. But there had to be a first touchdown scored in Tennessee Titans history. Mm. Who scored the first touchdown in Tennessee Titans history? If you know the answer, hit up the text line, 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly guess will win another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
I'm going to assume, and I don't think saying this is a spoiler, but I'm going to assume, because you asked that question, that the answer is not Eddie George, because that would be the obvious
answer. I will give you a hint. It is not Eddie George. That's my
interesting
hint.
Let's go text line. I expected to see answers on this text line already.
Would have been hilarious if it was Eddie George, but it is not Eddie George.
We got some different. Oh, I got three different answers right away on the text line. I can't wait to find out the actual answer here.
Well, I can't wait to find out.
Four different answers. Five different answers.
Well, I can tell you, I'll give you a hint. The answers that I've seen to this point until just now have all been incorrect. We've got some correct ones rolling in there. So there you go.
Okay.
I'll give it about five more seconds to just let people feel good about themselves. The answer, real quickly, because there have been people that have already guessed it. The answer, Joe, is Steve McNair, a one-yard run into the end zone. And I threw that out there because I didn't think people would think of the quarterback running one in, but he did. Steve McNair. I don't remember if it was a sneak or not, but a one-yard run for a touchdown.
Listen, that's great, and congrats to the winner. I still think you should give the spot to Kevin, who responded with Dan Pastorini. I mean, I think he should. I think you should just give him the spot. Okay.
Yep, that'd be good. Mike Munchak,
first Billy touchdown. White Shoes Johnson. Oh God!
So congratulations, Ian. We'll get the information for the winner, but Steve McNair, the correct answer. That was a wild game, if you remember it. Titans got up 26-7 in that game. And then the fourth quarter, we're down 35-26, and then won 36-35. So a wild opener for the Titans against the Bengals.
Would that be Akili Smith's Cincinnati Bengals?
I believe that is correct.
It was Jeff Blake.
I think they both played in that game, if memory serves me correctly.
Oh, yeah. Let me find the box score.
But I am pretty sure both of them may have played in that game.
That was a great pick.
Both of them did play in that game. Jeff Blake and Akili Smith played.
You know, the year before that, Akili Smith was at Oregon before, you know, which got him drafted, you know, like fourth or whatever, and he absolutely ripped the guts out of a Nick Saban defense, man. I mean, he absolutely annihilated Nick Saban's Michigan State defense in 1998.
Really?
I remember it well.
Apparently,
yeah.
You do.
He was incredible. No, he was incredible in college. Another good example of, you know. You just don't know.
You just
expect them to not work out, these quarterbacks.
You just don't know. And look, you know, the Titans had a great year in 1999, went on to have another one in 2000. I mean, Frank Wycheck found himself in the Pro Bowl. I mean, it was good stuff. Eddie George found himself in the Pro Bowl. And now, Joe, that game no longer exists, and we can all rejoice. The NFL has gotten rid of the Pro Bowl, baby. It's gone, and I don't think it's coming back. They have announced this yesterday. They are, you know, the Pro Bowl itself has been gone for a few years now, and they've done this Pro Bowl game stuff where they get out there and they're either playing flag football or, you know, you've got Derrick Henry out there playing dodgeball or whatever it is. They've gotten rid of the Pro Bowl games and instead are shifting the focus to celebrating the honor of being a Pro Bowl. So, Joe, this is great news to me on two fronts. Number one, none of us have to watch like the Pro Bowl or, you know, the dodgeball competition or anything like that anymore with these people. Like, I didn't watch it anyway, but apparently some people did. Like, they watched the Pro Bowl games and the Pro Bowl. So that's no more. And number two, Joe, I think with the way that they're going to do this, being a Pro Bowler actually means something again because they're not going to have any alternates. There's not going to be any replacements. They're just going to name 88 players to the Pro Bowl at the end of the year, and there's no game to worry about, so you're not sitting out of it or subbing out of it. If you're a Pro Bowler, it's actually an accomplishment again at the National Football League, and we don't have Snoop Huntley out there as a Pro Bowler after playing three games in a season.
This is all very good news. And yeah, so basically, because we've had this argument before, it's like the reality is you still use it as an honor, right? You still use it as this guy is a four-time Pro Bowl offensive guard, you know? Agents use it in negotiations. So it should be meaningful. It's not as meaningful as All-Pro. All-Pro is more exclusive, right? But Pro Bowl actually will be what it should be, you know, some of the top players in the league. And yeah, everybody who has spent most of their lives not watching the Pro Bowl now won't have anything to not watch. I mean, you tell me, anybody on the text line, if you actually like watch, if you watch the Pro Bowl, you are a sicko. I mean, you know, and I guess I feel bad for you today that you won't get it anymore, but like, I feel like this has got to be like a 99% approval rating from sports fans, right?
I mean, I would hope so. And again, like, I think the coolest thing is, like you said, the Pro Bowl actually means something again. Like, shout out to, I guess, Shadur for getting one in last year before they started to change
this thing.
He'll
always have that Pro Bowl.
He'll always have the Pro Bowl at this point. But I think this is great. And I actually, there were some quotes on this from, I believe it was Peter O'Reilly, who's the EVP of the NFL. And he said, you know, quote, this, I've just lost the quote. He basically said, it's okay to be the first professional league to basically get rid of the All-Star game. Yeah, quote, it's okay to be the first league to walk away from a competitive All-Star game. And I always thought that, like, as stupid as the Pro Bowl is, and as much as people don't like it, because there's no way to, like, replicate real football with the injury risk that goes into it.
Yeah.
I still thought they'd probably never get rid of it because it's like, well, it's our All-Star game. Why would we get rid of it? I'm glad that somebody in there finally had good enough sense to say, hey, guys, we're the NFL. Like, we basically control everything in American sports, and the money's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We can really make our own rules here. We don't have to do something as stupid as this Pro Bowl game. And sometimes it's okay to just admit that something's a bad idea and move on. And I'm glad that the NFL's done it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, my next question is, do we get to the point where we get rid of all of them? I
think the MLB one's fine.
Yeah, baseball is the one where I'm like, okay, I still kind of like the bait, and it's, you know, whatever. It's like in the middle of summer. Anything of interest at that time of year is fine. But, I mean, I could do without the NBA and NHL stuff too.
Honestly, NHL, I don't know how you go back to one. I really don't. Like, after the Four Nations at the Olympics, I don't know how you then say, all right, well, we're just going to return to having an All-Star game this year and just do like the All-Star game the way that they've always done it. Like, I don't know how you do that. Like, I think the NHL All-Star game is kind of similar to the Pro Bowl of, like, if there's not going to be any threat or any semblance of physical contact that goes on out there, then you can't really have a game and call yourself like an NHL game.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, I used to love the NBA All-Star game. I mean, love it. It used to be so fun. It was, like, competitive enough, but it was also, you know, like, a lot of, like, the defense was lax. But now it's just, I don't know. It's so weird and hard to watch. We do have people on the text line who are like, my kids will be upset. I got this text that says, I watched the Pro Bowl. My son loved the Pro Bowl games. I mean, you guys are – kudos to you. I'm sorry for your troubles, but, man. Like, I think the last time I watched the Pro Bowl was, like, in 1991 or something. And I just watched it so, like, people wouldn't tackle Barry Sanders. I was like, don't tackle him. Stop it. Stop. Like, that's – seriously. It's absolutely, to me, worthless.
I mean, the good news is –
I'm sorry for you folks who have lost your Pro Bowl.
You'll be able to watch flag football in the Olympics relatively soon. You can take that.
I'm actually excited for that. I like that. I'm looking forward to that.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
What's wrong with flag football?
I prefer the real thing. 615-737-1025.
It's not as good.
Is our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rexroad.
CPAP well. Update. With Joe Extra.
Well. Lane, you must hire a defensive coordinator, but call him a coordinator of war.
You know what? I think I'm going to choose violence today.
You better lawyer up.
I just talked to Lane for 2 hours on the phone.
Oh, that's our guy. He's running over everybody out there. Look at him. He's like a fullback on wheels.
We don't have a disclaimer that a cranky old jack wagon's coming on the show every time you come on.
It is time for the Rex Rant. Served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Joseph, the floor is yours. With the Chicago Bears in town today. Nice song.
Nice find there, too, by Ian on the coordinator of war. We will no longer be a coordinator of defense. We will have a coordinator of war at LSU. I could just do a rant and just be like, whoever that guy is, baby of Ed Orgeron and Foghorn Leghorn and who else?
Brian Kelly.
And Brian Kelly. I'm going to quickly, though, complain about – I mean, look, there's always more to stories, but I've looked at this story from everything I can see, and, I mean, TCU is just a bunch of clowns, man. Just an absolute clown show over at TCU. So let's not just keep it to LSU. TCU has revoked the credential. You know, I think this has been a rant before where, like, people sometimes get mad especially if like a team's bad, what happens is fans will get mad sometimes at the reporters for not asking the tough questions. It's always like, well, it's just so they won't, you know, they'll have their access taken away. And it's like, yeah, they're not taking the access away, bro. So, like, that's stupid. But TCU is trying to take access away. They have revoked the credential of apparently the only reporter who actually covers them on a full-time basis for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. That is, I'm failing now to find the reporter's freaking name. I will get that at some point. But he's had his credential revoked. He's in Ireland, by the way. So, you know, not allowed to cover the game. He's in Ireland with TCU, and they've revoked his credential. Because of this, for
good
anybody who...
Out there.
There's other stuff to do. I mean, you know, Dublin's a fun city. I've spent a day there before. Had a pretty good time. There was a fight... And Jacob Fields got released from the team, dismissed from the team for what they said was a violation of team rules. So the guy who got in the fight with him went on Instagram, was not identified by the paper, went on Instagram, did a video about it, and talked about it, which then the paper identified him after he did that. He deleted the video, but again, so the TCU is trying to say that essentially that he's like endangered the well-being of the student athlete. It's like he wasn't identified until he identified himself, and once that happens, I'm sorry, but like you can't unsee that, you can't unreport that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
So again, there's I keep an open mind to sometimes there's more to the story. You know, the year that in the 2006 season covering Michigan State, John L. Smith, the head coach, would not answer any of my questions. I asked a question. He said, next. Who's next? You know, it's like this happens, you know, and there's a lot to that story. You know, so these things happen. But like I'm looking at this and it's just like this is just clown show stuff. You can't do it. So this is where you know, what we have. I know people love, you know, reporters standing up for reporters and all this stuff. I mean, I try to avoid this stuff, but this is so stupid. So the Football Writers Association of America, which I'm a member, has demanded that the credential be reinstated. So we'll see what happens. But like, until you show me, like, you got to have some real compelling reason to try to revoke someone's credential. Like, you got to have, like, it's got to be like recklessly, you know, unprofessional, basically. And what I'm seeing here is just an insane overreaction. So hopefully TCU figures that out. Right now they look like absolute clowns.
So LSU fans are going to hate you. TCU are not going to let you in the football facility this year. This is a impressive tear down. Greg Sankey already gets nervous when you're around because of how much we make fun of him. I mean, it's going to be an impressive kind of shakedown of college athletics that you're doing here.
I support Greg Sankey. I mean, I think he hates my guts, but I support Greg Sankey, and I think that I'm all in with the Sankster here.
Why would he hate you?
Oh God, yeah. He stuff I've written, stuff I've said, my face, looking at my face.
He's friend of the
my
show.
My punchable face.
Now that I think about it, he hadn't come on in a little bit.
No, he wouldn't even like do an interview for my Paul Feinbaum story. I'm like, geez, I'm trying to write like a nice story about Paul Feinbaum. Oh, you're writing it?
No,
I'm good.
No, okay. Thanks. No, thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Access revoked. But this is stupid.
Allocations elsewhere. Anyway, continue.
I do declare, Commissioner Sankey, I fully support your ruling on
this
matter.
This voice, I mean, you've got several contenders. I mean, your Kuharsky one's always going to be tough to beat. People love the Borgonzi one. This one's moving towards the top of some people's list based on the comments that I'm reading here.
I go like months without doing it. I have to. Now that we're in football season, LSU is going to be a prominent team, good or bad. So we got to make sure. Now, you need to run a play so that Sam Leavitt has a quarterback sneak. Do I have something like that in the playbook lane?
I mean, Ian, can you imagine, you know, the time we got him almost to do the whole show in a Kuharsky voice? Can you imagine him doing a whole show in this Cajun voice he's trying to throw out there? It'd be amazing.
That would be pretty good. Might be a little bit of a challenge. Could be a hurtful one.
Could be.
You might, you know, not feel great on the throat.
Take the next day off.
Yep, but the old voice box there. But it'd be fun for the rest of us.
Lane, if you can go get Harrison Butker as your kicker, I will give you a crawfish etouffee that will blow your mind.
Oh, you got to get me. Yeah, right. Take a microphone away from me.
We're
going
to move from something that probably could be borderline insufferable at some point, and we're going to move to something fantastic. Charles Robinson will be with us here in just a few minutes. But before we get to Charles, we are going to join a statewide tribute amongst all radio stations for Dolly Parton coming up next. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.